Good morning.
Morning.
How is everybody? Everybody's awake? Yeah. No? Well, wanted to start this morning out with a little game. I mean, who doesn't like games, right? Everybody likes games? Woo! Okay. But simple game. Okay. We don't want anything complicated. It's Sunday. It's still morning. You know. So this is a simple game. Simple instructions. All you have to do is, if you agree, you have to stand up. Okay. If you disagree, you stay seated. Is that okay? You got that over there? Okay, agree. What are you going to do? There's always one in the crowd. If you agree, you're going to stand up. And if you disagree, you're going to stay seated. Okay? Ready? You got it? Okay, so here we go. McDonald's is better than Burger King. Do you agree? Okay, I'll put those fries are so good. Come on, right? Oh, he's on his chair. Emerson, woo! He's a fan. Okay. Okay, have a seat. Okay, this is gonna get a little unruly, but okay, chocolate is better than vanilla. Yes, come on, people. You should all be standing on your chairs. A lot of discussion going on over here. Okay, have a seat. Okay. Being an early bird is better than being a night owl. Right? Okay. All the teens are still sitting. Notice that? Yes. Okay, have a seat. Okay. Summer is better than winter. Amen. Woo! Really? Wow. Okay. Some people like the winter. Okay. Okay, have a seat. Okay, and now this next one. I just want to give you a heads up on this next one. I had nothing to do with it. In fact, I know nothing about it. My husband made me put this in here. Okay, Marvel is better than DC. Who has no idea? Have a seat. Okay. Coke is better than Pepsi. Okay. Okay. Have a seat. And last one, I want my friends and family to know Jesus. Amen. Have a seat. You know, in all of those, that was fun, in all of those slides, we're all different. We all have different things that we agree on. We all have to realize that chocolate is actually better than vanilla. And you are wrong. I'm sorry, but you are. Actually, I'm not sorry. It is better. But we can all, you know, have different things that we agree on, right? But when it comes to, do we want to see our friends and our family and our coworkers and our neighbors, when it comes to wanting them to know Jesus, we can all agree, right? I mean, of course we want that. And so as we head into this new series on sharing our faith, which we're going to be doing over the next several weeks, I just want to open us up in prayer. So would you bow your heads with me as we pray this morning? Jesus, I just want us to hear from you this morning. Lord, I know without a shadow of a doubt that you have just put this message in my heart. And I just pray that you would open up each and every one of us, our eyes and our ears, just to listen to what you have to say. As we sang, Spirit of the Living God, we only want to hear from you. Would you just get me out of the way? Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that the words come out of my mouth would be the words from your heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I'm sure that you all this past week heard the sad news about Billy Graham passing away. What a man. What an impact. It was all over the news and all over the newspapers, all over Facebook. And how many of you have ever gone to one of his crusades? Anybody ever gone to one of Billy Graham's crusades? Yeah, powerful, powerful. I was at one in Skydome. I know, so that's a long time ago, but it's not Skydome anymore, but This week, on Wednesday, when it happened, every news channel that I turned onto or any newspaper article I looked at, all you saw was Jesus, the name of Jesus. And I just thought that was so cool because when have you ever turned on the news and you hear Jesus, right? Never. You know, you see shootings and you see all this other stuff going on, but you never hear the name of Jesus. And news anchors were talking about their faith in Jesus. And they had people, all sorts of people on. It was Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I just thought that was so awesome. Because one thing that struck me was the way people talked about Billy Graham. In one newspaper article, it said, Billy Graham was real. He made Christianity come true. Another one said he preached Jesus. He didn't preach himself. He didn't preach politics, nor he didn't preach prosperity. He just preached Jesus. Another one said he was a good and faithful servant. He fought the good fight. He finished the race, and he kept the faith. He preached the good news, and he let every person know about Jesus that he came in contact with. Billy Graham was once dubbed God's ambassador, and he went to the four corners of this world. Over six decades, he personally preached to over 210 million people. Isn't that incredible? 185 countries he went to. His core message for those six decades, it never changed. It was always the same message, and that was every single person on this planet can find salvation in Jesus. He wanted people to know Jesus. And his one purpose in life, he knew it. From the time he was 16 years old, he knew his purpose was to help people find a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In his last sermon series, some of you might remember it, he did, it was by video, but he did a sermon on My Hope in 2013. And he said this, our country is in great need of spiritual awakening. Do we agree? There have been times that I have wept going from city to city when I see how far people have wandered away from God. This world is messed up. And I know if I asked you to stand, I'm not going to, but if I asked you to stand up if you agree to that, I know we would, right? This world is messed up. And it's staggering because people are lost. But in the middle of all that is God. And he has chosen you and me to be in a relationship with him. And he comes alongside us and he's given us marching orders. He has breathed into us life. He's brought us back from the dead. He's found us. He has restored us. He has redeemed us for one purpose. And that is to reach the lost. To make his name known. To help people that we come in contact find a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Billy Graham preached it, but more importantly, he lived it. And in one of his interviews, he was asked the question, what is the secret to powerful and effective evangelism? I mean, don't you want to know that? He is the greatest, in our lifetime, the greatest evangelist. I want to know what his secret is. And in that interview, this is what he said. Nothing can take the place of your daily devotional life with Christ. Your quiet time, your prayer time, the time you spend in the Word is absolutely essential for a fruitful Christian life. You cannot possibly be a dynamic, powerful, and effective Christian. Let me read that again. You cannot possibly be a dynamic, powerful, and effective Christian apart from a daily walk with Jesus. Without him, I would be nothing. That is the secret to successful evangelism. When Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 4, "Come, follow me," he meant follow me. Spend time with me. Hang out with me. Share life with me. And those disciples, they watched him and they listened to him and they learned from him. And for 3.5 years, he poured into them. And then before he went to the cross, he told them this. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 15. Verses 4 and 5 says this: "Remain joined to me, just as I also remain joined to you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain joined to the vine. In the same way, you can't bear fruit unless you remain joined to me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain joined to me and I to you, you will bear a lot of fruit. You can't do anything without me." You know, Jesus, before he said this, he had already said, "I am the light of the world." He already said, "I am the bread of life. I am the way. I am the door." And now he is telling his disciples, "I am the vine." The vine is the source of life for branches. The branches must remain joined to the vine in order to live and bear fruit. When the branches are joined, fruit happens. It's natural. Fruit grows. It can't help it. It just does. And as we start this series on sharing our faith, it doesn't start with this. It doesn't start with go. Although that's important. It starts this way. Sharing our faith, sharing Jesus, starts with our relationship with him. It starts with having a living, authentic relationship with Jesus. Remain joined to the vine. Jesus is that vine, and we are the branches. Imagine if you had a branch not joined to a vine. Now, I didn't tell my husband this, but I cut this from a tree. Okay, imagine. Hey, go big or go home, okay? I found the biggest tree. No matter how hard this branch tries, right? I'm going to bear fruit. Whew. Hang on. Might have to hang on to something. Okay. It's not going to happen. No branch can bear fruit by itself. When a branch is separated from the vine, it is separated from the life source. If it is not joined to the vine, it's useless. It's dead. And it's the same way for us. Life is only found when we are joined to Jesus. Apart from him, we have nothing, and we are nothing, and we can do nothing. He is the life giver. Our next breath comes from him. And although we have a clear mission to go and reach the lost, apart from him, it can't happen. We don't have to have all the answers. We don't have to have a theology degree. We don't have to be saved for 20 years. No, we just have to remain joined to Jesus. Growing and learning and being transformed to be more and more like him. So that what we present when we go out into this world is irresistible because of the way we live it. We are to be disciples who make disciples. If I remain in him and he remains in me, fruit will happen. I was recently at a children's pastors conference. And down in the States, they're big on doing surveys and statistics on this and that. And one of the recent studies they did, the largest impact on a child's faith, the largest impact on a child's faith is regularly reading the Bible. And yet among parents, it's the lowest priority. And I would say the same is true for us as adults. Whatever happened to reading this? Whatever happened to spending quiet time with Jesus? Being in his word, having a regular devotion time, a time that you block off from the rest of what is going on in your life and spending time with the life giver. You know, my nanny, my grandma, I called her nanny, she knew her Bible. She read her Bible over 40 times, and she knew it from cover to cover. And yet some of us can't even remember the last time we had an intimate time with Jesus. I'm not talking about coming on a Sunday morning and worshiping. That's awesome. I'm not talking about thanking God before a meal or a bedtime prayer. I'm talking about setting time aside to read the Bible, to pray, and to listen. And I get it. We don't do it on purpose. We get busy. Life happens. And the next thing you know, a week goes by. A month goes by. You know, Satan is a great distractor. He's really good at it. There's a saying that if Satan can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. And it's true. Because he knows that when our lives are joined with Jesus, fruit is going to happen. He doesn't want more disciples. He wants us as far away from God as we can be. Bearing fruit, sharing our faith starts with this way and then this way. Jesus says, follow me and I will make you what? Fishers of men. We are his fruit and we are his fruit bearers. And yet so many of us, we compartmentalize our faith. We step out of here on a Sunday morning and we go into our everyday lives, our workplaces, our schools, and we're in a whole new world, a whole different world, and we don't open our Bibles and we don't talk to Jesus and we don't talk about Jesus. And for others, we compromise our faith. And I know that Scott's been talking about the summer grant funding requiring us to check a little box, an attestation, to declare that our core mandate as followers of Jesus, we need to agree on a statement that isn't consistent with what we believe as Christians. And yet the box is that big. It's just a little box. I mean, it was so easy just to check that box, right? I mean, we get so many great things that come out of that funding. And the government wants us to compromise on what we believe. No. We're not going to check it. We're not going to compromise. We need to stand up for Jesus. Because if we don't, who will? No matter what the cost. So we don't get grants. God is in control. For others, you might be, you know what? I'm saved. I've accepted Jesus. That's just the beginning. Oh my goodness, it's just the beginning. And maybe you're here today, you've never made that commitment to start our relationship with Jesus. Oh, let today be that day. People need Jesus. Salvation is for everyone, but people need to see us living an authentic Christian life, followers of Him. He is already present in the world, but He becomes visibly present through us, through you, who make Him known. And it starts with this. My relationship. Your relationship with Christ. I chose you, Jesus says, to be, go and to bear fruit. And a well-known passage comes from Matthew 28. When we talk about sharing our faith, this is a key, this is a great passage. Jesus is coming and He's talking to His disciples and He says, I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all that I have commanded. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We can't make disciples if we're not disciples. You can't make something that you're not. You know, when we look in the book of Acts and the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples and the other believers, they went out and they preached boldly, and the Bible says that daily people were being saved. Disciples making disciples. And if we want to make disciples, we need to be disciples. We cannot represent who we do not follow. We cannot teach what we do not know. Fruit produces fruit. Disciples produce disciples. We need to walk with Him. Remain joined to Him, hang around Him, stick with Him, grow, learn, spend time with Him, and then this comes natural. You know, we're supposed to start this series next week. And as I prayed about what I was going to talk about next week, the Holy Spirit said, no. We can't start here. We got to start here. Because without this, this doesn't happen. And it was so heavily impressed upon me that I know this morning that this message is not from me. It's from the Holy Spirit. Because this here sets the stage for this. The vertical sets the stage for the horizontal. And at the end of the day, when we see Jesus, when I see Jesus, and He says, so? I want to say, yeah. I believe, Jesus, that You're the best. And you can ask anyone that ever knew me, anyone I ever worked with, anyone I ever came in contact with, anyone I ever went to school with, they will be able to tell you that I loved you because I spent time with you. I love you. And I lived it out in front of them. And when the time was right, Jesus, when You opened up that door for a conversation, I said to them, hey, do you know Jesus? Because He loves you. He is everything to me. He's awesome. And I'm going to ask the band to come up. But I truly believe that God is working in this world, despite all the craziness that's going on. And I believe even here at BAC, I just feel that we're on the brink of something, that we're just on the tip of something. But we need Jesus. We can never get enough of him. Oh, this world needs Jesus. Every minute, every hour, every second, we need Jesus. Our country needs Jesus. Our government needs Jesus. And I just want you to bow your heads with me this morning. Because I know God's desire for us as a church family is that the common thread between all of us is that people would see Jesus in our lives because we are so joined to him. Because we set time aside. Oh, Jesus, would you help us to just set time aside for you every day so that you can speak to us, so we can read your word, so we can learn from you, so we can grow in you, and so we can go out into this world and make disciples. So that people we come in contact with know, I love Jesus. I follow Jesus. I live for Jesus. I am joined with Jesus. And whoever you want me to tell, I will tell. And wherever you want me to go, I will go. Because I only live for you. And you are worth everything, Lord Jesus. You demand everything, Lord Jesus. And the best that we can give you is everything. I want to be a disciple who makes disciples. And I sense so heavily this morning that we need to be called to action. We need to be accountable to each other. God never ever says that as Christians, as believers, that we're to be comfortable. And so I want you to get up out of your seat. And I want you to come forward as the band plays. And I want you to say, not to me, not to your neighbor, but I want you to say to Jesus, Jesus, I am going to make you a priority in my life. I am going to set him aside. I know I'm busy, but I'm going to set time aside. And I'm going to spend time with you every day. I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to be joined with you because, Jesus, I am nothing. I can do nothing without you. Help me to put you first. And I believe fully that we need to be accountable and hold each other accountable this morning. So would you just come forward? And I'm going to be the first because I can't get enough of him. I'm going to be the first down there because I need to spend more time with him. So I'm just going to ask you to get up and come forward. And you can kneel or you can stand or you can worship. Do you want more of him? I don't have an ending. But I want you to open your eyes. Because as a church family, I believe we need to look around. We need to hold each other accountable. How's your walk with Jesus? How are you doing? We love each other. We're a family. And we need to do that.